Was it worth all that I gave up? Written by Six of Snakes. Read by Raven. Summary. Maybe they were never written in the stars. Maybe they were just an experiment. Two boys fooling around. Numair slowly comes to realize that Ozorn will never love him the way he wants. I would die for you, Aram promises Ozorn. They don't talk about it. After he said it, they don't need to. It's another quiet moment that passes between them, unnoticed by the world. Sometimes, the significance of such moments eludes even those taking part in them until years later. I would die for you, Aram says again in the same breath as I love you and please say you love me the same. Ozorn doesn't say, I love you, just laughs and kisses Aram, and their kisses are passionate and fevered, but they never feel real. At school, Ozorn treats him like a classmate, a friend at best. At night, Ozorn takes his pleasure in Aram's bed, and Aram always feels like there's something missing, but he tells himself there isn't because this is love. Right? When he tells those thoughts to Ozorn, he winces and says, don't ever speak of this again. Aram cries that night. But when Ozorn comes to bed, Aram plasters a smile on his face and pretends like he didn't. He does like his nights with Ozorn. Maybe he's just being greedy to think that they're not enough. I want to change my name. Aram whispers one night under the covers. He can see the moon, full and bright, out the window. To what? Ozorn asks, laughter in his voice. Aram Draper, it fits you. He traces the line of Aram's jaw with a languid hand, and Aram lets himself be pulled into a kiss. But he doesn't stop thinking that Ozorn is wrong. About this, at least. Aram Draper is the boy he was in Tira, and he's going to be a mage. Aram Draper isn't the name of a powerful sorcerer, and he will be one. He doesn't tell Ozorn that he sneaks into the library and reads books on the customs of names across the world. At some point, Ozorn finds out. He catches Aram with a book on names and half-finished list on Aram's scribbled handwriting. A name is circled. Numair Semeline. Ozorn yells at him and calls it a stupid name, but Aram can't let it go. He keeps his name close to his chest and pretends that everything's fine with Ozorn. It's not. Don't you love me? Numair asks one night. Why don't we ever go to the city?
People don't like that sort of thing, Aram. Ozorn says in that coldly condescending way of his.
But other people's opinions have never mattered to Ozorn, and Numair knows that Ramazu spends time with his Rogzi in public, so why not him and Ozorn? He doesn't say that, of course. He's long since given up on arguing with Ozorn. There's no point in it, even if he's right. Their final exams come and go. Numair ranked higher than Ozorn, which isn't unusual. But this time, Ozorn's angry. I'm sorry, Numair tries to say. I wasn't trying to. Ozorn's slap takes him by surprise. He pretends like it doesn't hurt, but it does. It hurts more than anything. Numair can't understand why Ozorn's so angry. He was still second in their class. Their grades were almost identical. It was a difference of a few points. It could have easily gone the other way. Later, Ozorn comes to apologize and kisses Numair gently.
I'm sorry, he says. My temper got the better of me.
That's why we learn control, isn't it? Numair jokes. But it's not really a joke, and Ozorn doesn't laugh. His eyes narrow and an expression like fury flits across his face.
I have excellent control, he says.
I know, Numair whispers. It was a joke. I'm sorry. but inside, he wants to scream. "You hit me," he wants to say. "Don't you understand?" But he doesn't. He doesn't say anything. Not even when Ozorn asks, "Are you mad at me?" He just stares at Ozorn, at his beautiful, violent, stunning prince, and tries to keep himself from crying. There'll be time to cry over Ozorn later, he promises himself. But not here. Not now. Ozorn leaves, a blaze of injured self-esteem and cold fury, but Numair doesn't cry that night, nor the next. It's like something's gone cold and silent inside of him. A week later, Ozorn is back, all smiles and kindness. Numair welcomes him. What else could he do? But that night, lying beside Ozorn, staring at the stars, Numair realized that this can't last. Maybe they were never written in the stars. Maybe they were just an experiment, two boys fooling around. Numair glances at Ozorn, at his profile gilded in moonlight, and he knows that Ozorn saw it that way all along. He never meant it to be more. "Why didn't you tell me?" Numair wants to ask, but he doesn't. The next day, he books a ship to Tortal. He's wasted enough of his life on a man who didn't love him back. Ozorn finds out, of course, because he always does. He begs Numair to stay, and Numair says no. "I won't. Not for you. Not anymore. All those times I told you I loved you, you never said it back. You never cared, did you? You just wanted to use me." Ozorn doesn't deny it. "Goodbye," Numair says, and he turns to leave. He doesn't remember what happens after that. Stupid of him, he thinks later. Even around Ozorn, he should have been on his guard. He doesn't have time to ponder on what Ozorn thinks now or cry over everything. He's in a cell, a mage-proof one, one designed for a mage of his talents. Ozorn had this planned all along. Numair realizes with a sick feeling in his stomach. It was always his plan to keep me here, to be at his beck and call. In the end, he fights. And in the end, he escapes. But sometimes, on cold winter nights, when he's sleeping in the streets, alone and afraid, he wonders if it was worth the cost. The end. Thank you for listening.